again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 254 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
We're back as we always are each and every week, Ben, to talk about basketball video games, a little bit of real basketball as well. It is that lull between the start of the preview season and then the real start of the preview season, I guess, the kind of the tip-off and then the immediate timeout, something like a Greg Popovich might do, calling a timeout 20 seconds into the game. It's kind of how the preview season works these days, but we are expecting news to come flowing through. But that being said, a couple of things to talk about this week.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of news, not too much, so, but, you know, should be a good show.
Well, we always hope so. That's always the aim, after all. But in some cases, no news is news in its own way, as we'll get to in a little bit. But we are going to tip off something with some leaked news, at any rate, and that is the cover for the standard edition of NBA 2K19, or at least that's how it looks anyway. And the news was broken by, at least where I saw it first, was by Community Guru on Twitter. That's Community Guru 17. And it's Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, certainly turning into one of the best players in the league at the moment, one of the most all-around stars, certainly, and certainly marketable. I mean, the Bucks not necessarily the highest profile team right now or the biggest market, but definitely one of the biggest stars in the league, and if he is the choice, it's not altogether surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, and, you know, he is touted to be a future MVP in that, so, yeah, I think a logical choice in that sense.
Of course, he is our second favourite person from the country of Greece behind the immortal Leftos. But nevertheless, we have no ill will towards the Greek freak either. Naturally, but, you know, behind Leftos, as we said. Looking at this leaked cover, it is very similar to the 20th anniversary edition of NBA 2K19, which, of course, has LeBron James on it. That one is a black cover with the generic jersey that he's wearing, just in case he's not still with the Cavaliers by the end of the offseason. And also with these different slogans, these words around there, like Greek Freak, Rise, Fear the Deer, Athens, obviously, and All-Star. All these other slogans and words just to promote, and basically, they will know your name. That is the slogan, and of course that is on there as well. It's a different cover design they've gone for this year, kind of a little bit minimalist, would you say? Or certainly different, if nothing else.
Yeah, it's definitely very different to their traditional ones. I think it works better in the special edition, like with the writing style and stuff like that, with the sort of hand-drawn sort of scribble type writing and stuff like that.
The gold on the black as well, sort of.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's probably not the cleanest or, I say, best design in that sort of sense.
It kind of gives me this idea of, I don't know, writing things in a, like, when you're bored in class, maybe, scribbling things.
And doing on the phone to someone and just sort of scribbling.
Yeah. And the idea that, you know, they will know your name, this is your future, I'm picturing myself as an NBA player kind of thing, and all going into the idea of becoming this legendary player, which I suppose is probably going to be a theme in my career, that would be my guess, especially since they're promoting that they will know your name tagline. But I guess that's the kind of approach they're going with that design there.
Yeah. Also notice, like, similar thing to, like, last year's cover, is if you look at the LeBron one, how it's just got 2K19, and then the regular one has the full NBA 2K19 and the logo. So they're going for that again in the special edition and the regular standard editions and that. So, just interesting design choice in that to continue that sort of thing.
I suppose it's not where we want to see them really innovating with the cover of anything. We want to see more substantial improvements, which, you know, don't hate on us. We do expect them to be working on the game, not just the cover. But, I mean what else can you say about a cover, really? But it is a good choice of a cover player. I suppose the other thing to reiterate is this whole issue with the standard edition not having the four-day early tip-off weekend. And that's, as we said before, is going to be a big thing as far as pre-ordering this game. And what's really disappointing people, and people are saying, oh, 2K doesn't owe you that, which is fine. And if they want to have that special perk for the special edition, the 20th anniversary edition, fair enough. The issue is, of course, that it was done in previous years and now it's being taken away, which makes it look like more of a cash grab, more of a greedy move.
Yeah, and it looks like it's even been done with the WWE title that they've done as well.
WWE 2K is getting really bad with its pre-order bonuses. I don't want to go into it because obviously this is about basketball games, but I've had my own issues with that particular series in recent years as well, playing those games going way back to when THQ was still making them, developing and publishing them. But yeah, it's become a real problem in gaming, as we've said so many times before. It's not just basketball games that have this issue with pre-order bonuses and that lack of goodwill, but it's kind of cheeky, you know, that they are doing that after all the backlash last year. It shows you how confident they are in their market share.
Yeah, it's something that 2K seem to think they really seem confident of being getting away with, compared to if you look at EA, Activision, Ubisoft, and other developers, and that they seem to go somehow less unscathed compared to those other studio or other publishers.
I think it comes down to the niche of basketball gaming and sports gaming as a whole,
This even like comes into play with like GTA and stuff like that, especially how money driven and monetized that has become.
Absolutely, and people. I've seen people making that comparison. I've seen people talking about that about GTA. I've only ever played GTA offline, really, a couple of times online, and just went back to offline, basically, is how I've been playing GTA since 1997, 8, I suppose. But, of course, back in the day, that's all you could play was offline, nevertheless. I do think people would be more outraged, I think, if it was a title that wasn't so niche, because you look at a game like GTA, thinking of what other games would you... Assassin's Creed, all that kind of stuff. If they have bad business practices for those games that have this wide appeal, because people who play sports games are likely to play other genres of games, but people who play those other genres of games aren't necessarily likely to play sports games. It doesn't go both ways in that respect.
That's true. So
I think, you know, EA got the flack for Battlefront.
Yep.
But I don't think 2K gets that same for 2K, because even though it does sell a lot of copies and it is very popular, compared to the amount of copies that, say, GTA sells, it's nowhere near as much, and it's still a niche interest. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's understandable. But yeah, I think it seems to be this weird sort of thing that they can get away with it with their titles, but other publishers can't.
That's the reason. I don't think it's an excuse. I think they absolutely should be, but it's just you don't have that really big fan base of, okay, you've got 8.5 million people bought 2K18. Anywhere between 8 and 9 million, depending on how many sold, how many...
Shipped.
But compared to 100 million or whatever of other games, or certainly 50 million or whatever, it's a smaller fan base, and it's a fan base that really is very invested in basketball gaming, whereas you've got all these... Like, all gamers can be upset about, you know, the announcement about Fallout or something that's with Assassin's Creed or GTA or Mass Effect or whatever. You've got that bigger fan base that overlap between lots of people who like lots of genres. So I think it's more vocal. But I agree with you. I think it's, even though that's the reason, I think they absolutely should be held accountable, and they're starting to, but I don't think it's enough to really snowball, at least just yet.
Yeah, I think if they continue up for another couple of years, I think people will just go, enough is enough.
Yeah,
you know, especially if it, like, given the how things have been changed, like how more intrusive the VC aspect has become, and now the fact that you have to earn, if you wanted to play the game earlier, how you have to pay for the special edition, which costs nearly double the amount.
Certainly, at least $40 more, give or take. Mm. So you're looking from. From US prices, from $59.99 to $99.99. So yeah, $40 difference with that. I think it's even more over here. Wouldn't be surprised the way they just mark everything up. And it's what we've said so many times before. It's that lack of goodwill and the feeling that they can do it whatever they want. And and treat their customers however, because oh, you're going to buy the game anyway, and it just goes back to putting that onus on EA to step up with NBA Live and say, well, you do have another option here, and we're doing it, you know, better, we're doing it fairer. You know, that's what it's going to be. It's going to have to take that, and maybe the bubble bursting on microtransactions and whatnot, but for the meantime, they can do it. And so if you want to want to play it early, I guess you do need to get that LeBron cover and not the Greek Freak.
Yeah, well, I know what I'll be doing on September 7th, so...
Well, so it's you won't be playing the game fit for a king then. You,
they won't, or a Greek they freak. They won't know my name.
they won't know your wallet. They won't know your credit card number.
Yeah.
So we will continue to cover NBA 2K19 and of course NBA Live 19. It is a bit of a lull as far as news is concerned. And speaking of a lull in news, NBA Playgrounds 2, Ben. What's going on with that? I mean, I ask you as if I'm asking you for an answer, but I know what the answer's going to be because we know nothing.
Yeah, it's gone radio silent again. So, yeah, I imagine it has brought up a lot of people's concern. Has it been cancelled or, you know, what are they doing kind of stuff? You know, what's happening with it? You know, was it in development hell, I guess, or if they're adding something new to it, but obviously they're just waiting to announce it. So,
and they do have the luxury, I suppose, of not being AAA, of not being EA or 2K. So I talked about that about Kenny because I said this wasn't a great look and everything, and it's not. But you can cut them some slack because they're not a AAA publisher or a big publisher on the size of an EA, 2K, Activision, etc. But The fact, as you say, radio silence, there's absolutely nothing about the game that we're being told at all. All we've been told is that good things come to those who wait. No teasers, no information, no time frame. It's coming soon. That was, you know, the whole joke in the whole Facebook group is, you know, next week, because they always say next week and then next week is like not next week. So it's, I don't think it's a good way to continue to hype the game, because cancelling it, I shouldn't say cancelling it because it hasn't been cancelled. I don't think it's been cancelled either. But whatever's holding it back, whatever's postponing it, delaying it, we don't know what it is. It's supposedly good, but they're not giving any hints about it. As soon as that happened, it killed a lot of hype and enthusiasm for the game. People were already saying, oh, they weren't that happy with the first game, so no thanks on the second one anyway. So they too are also throwing away a lot of goodwill and good opportunity to really get people excited about the game and push it. Maybe they can't say anything yet. Maybe there's something still in the works. But that just goes to show that it's very poorly planned. They're not selling the game very well at the moment. Of course, they're not selling the game at all right now. They had to refund the pre-orders on PlayStation 4. But still no news. And it's, you know, I said earlier in a Monday Tip-Off article, I think Playgrounds has a great opportunity, just as the first game did, to be the arcade game of the generation. And it still could be, but right now they're just really shooting themselves in the foot, it feels.
Well, yeah. It doesn't bode well in, you know, even if they just, you know, posted a little something, and, you know, of when to potentially expect a little bit more news, or, you know, just to sort of elaborate on something to just to inform the community and that would go a long way.
Yeah, some kind of time frame on when they're going to make an announcement. Even if they put out a few more new screenshots or videos of what they can show, you know, just little things to keep people interested and say, hey, yes, the game is coming out, and look what we're going to be able to deliver. But we've had a very small amount of preview, a sudden reveal of the release date when it was originally supposed to be summer 2018, and then that became May 22nd or May 21st, I can't remember now. But basically late May instead of summer 2018, and then just before the was scheduled to be released, of course, then the indefinite postponement, and then you get nothing. I mean, and people are still supposed to support the product and care. You know, that's tough. I mean, you look what happened with NBA Live 13 when that went radio silent, and then of course just ended up getting cancelled, and there were lots of reasons because of that, as we've known now, talking to Deshaun O'Brien a couple of years ago when he was on the podcast. But, you know, it just doesn't really inspire confidence in the product. And after Playgrounds 1 was kind of shaky, I think they really needed to bring it with 2, and people were saying, why are you bringing it out? And I've defended that decision, but it's maybe it wasn't ready. Maybe they needed to spend a little bit longer on it.
Yeah, I think so. It did seem sort of out of nowhere and rushed when they formally announced it. You know, I definitely agree that it was definitely poor planned. And, you know, hindsight is obviously, you know, a big thing in that sort of sense. So how much they would have changed their plans and stuff, given that if they'd had a bit more foresight into what was coming ahead in terms of what they were working on and what they were trying to release and that.
And this raises the question, what is, because it has to be pretty big if they're pushing it back and keeping it under wraps.
Yeah.
What is big enough, what is good enough to really justify the silence and the good things it comes to wait, kind of a bit arrogant, kind of condescending, but not meant that way, but kind of can come across that way. What can really live up to it? I mean, is it really causing intrigue at the moment? I'm not sure it is. People are kind of accepting it, but they're not necessarily that hyped about it. They've thrown out all kinds of suggestions, from Michael Jordan to Kobe Bryant to a crossover with NBA Jam. I kind of don't think any of those are going to be the thing. But it has to be big, and the longer it goes and the less they say about it, the more people build up all these things in their head of what it's going to be, and then if it's not any of those things, then it's just going to be really bad for them and the game. I don't know what it could possibly be that would actually live up to the hype at this point.
Yeah. I've tried thinking about it, what it could be that, you know, that they... But it's hard to say. It would have to be an entirely new mode. I think it would have to be more than just, you know, a certain player that they'd get in the game and that sort of thing by the stage.
Yeah, I mean, MJ would be big, but he's been in 2K for years now.
So, yeah.
And has been in basketball games at this point. Never been in an arcade basketball game, I suppose, except for, I guess, some of the ones that were just themed with him. He's in Space Jam, the video game back in the day, but that's kind of limited. You can go back to Wayback Wednesday and look at that, by the way, if you want to find out more about Space Jam, the video game. But yeah, I mean, it's got... I agree. I think content alone is going to be a bit of a disappointment. And if it's... I think we speculated before, maybe it's to get this year's rookie crop into the game, which I suppose would be okay, but then that also seems like something they could just say, that they're going to do that, that it's being delayed so they can get those agreements. So...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's building up expectations very high for the people who are still trusting the game and the brand, but yeah, that could be tough to live up to.
I agree. You know, so how imaginative people's thoughts and that could be about what it could be, and then, you know, we've just added a new hat element to it, you know, that'll definitely piss a lot of people off if that's what it ended up sort of being, something that kind of minuscule in terms of...
If it could have just been DLC, paid or otherwise, at the end, you're kind of like, that wasn't really worth the wait. So, I mean, I still hope the game turns out great. I'd like to see as many good NBA games on the market as we can, but yeah, I think that they're letting an opportunity slip, and it's unfortunate.
I agree. And, you know, if they are to release another game after this one, you know, hopefully they plan it a lot better and maybe not release so soon in terms of make sure that, you know, they've got everything that they want sort of locked down before they announce anything, so that way to prevent major delays. You know, if it's a week or so.
Disappointments, absolutely. Even a week can be a killer, as we've as we've seen. But the indefinite delay is never a good look for a game. Unless, I guess, you're a Nintendo. I think back in the day, Ocarina of Time got pushed back a couple of times. But that's Zelda. That's a big property that people love. That's not Playgrounds trying to establish itself as the arcade game of this generation. And, of course, now you've got NBA Live 19 and NBA 2K19 news coming out, and they're coming out in September. So that... it's going to have to now compete with them for attention as well. So it's not necessarily great timing in that part.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a, you know, that window where they could have the sort of early lead and sort of be the potential game to go to until the, you know, till Live and 2K come out. You know, there was the kind of blowing a window of opportunity in that sense, that's for sure.
Less than 3 months, basically, until those games come out. And, of course, the next... Well, I mean, you never know with NBA 2K19 news. That could be August, as we've said before. But certainly Playgrounds had that opportunity to come out a lot earlier, get people's hands on the sticks, get them enjoying the game, if indeed it was ready. And also to be putting out news. And this is the time before Live 19 and 2K19, before their preview season really kicks into high gear. You know, this is kind of like the training camp or the preseason, if you will, for the previous season, to use basketball metaphors. 2K, Playgrounds could have launched, or at least be putting out news now and getting people's attention, but they're not. And it's, again, wasting opportunities.
Yeah, you know, if their marketing team and PR need, like, you know, a kick up the ass and sort of get them into gear, you know, that's... Yeah, it's just kind of weird and disappointing in that sense, and hopefully they get their act together.
Well, they got Shaq Fu out. That's something, I suppose.
Maybe they didn't want to sort of drown both titles around the same time. It's like what happened with Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2. They both basically came out around the same time, and as a result, Titanfall 2 didn't sell as well in that sort of sense, or, you know, didn't get as much market attention as it should have. So that was a misstep by EA in that sense.
There is that aspect, of course. But of course, now they've got that window right now that they left the window open and the mosquitoes are getting in, basically. That is the problem right now. So, of course, we are waiting for more NBA Live 19 and NBA 2K19 news, and NBA Playgrounds 2 news as well. But as we look ahead to what we're going to be playing later this year, Live 19, 2K19, maybe both, maybe one or the other, I thought we'd talk a little bit about what we might be doing in this year's game, because it's kind of, our opinions have changed a bit over the last couple of years, having played a lot of 2K, a lot of my career and 2K Pro-Am, Live coming back, and me playing a lot of Ultimate Team this year, and we'll be talking a little bit about what we've been playing in the return of our weekend basketball game a little bit later on. But as far as our future in basketball gaming, what are you thinking of doing this September, Ben? You said that you know what you're doing, which is not playing the 20th anniversary edition of NBA 2K19, apparently. But as far as your plans for, I guess, Live 19 and possibly 2K19 if you get it later, what do you have in mind to do on the virtual hardwood?
For me, it would be definitely getting a bit more of the new version of the one for Live 19, playing a lot of that. And, you know, depending on the depth and new things that I've added to some of the other modes and that, you know, like franchise dynasty mode, you know, whether I dip my toes back into that, or, you know, if they do something with Legends outside of the 1/Live Ultimate Team stuff, then, you know, it'd be fun to play some of those sort of things, sort of modes and stuff. It really comes down to, you know, the extra content, or basically the extra work they've put into the modes and that this year.
Where the depth is, yeah. No,
yeah.
I totally get that. I would like to return to franchise mode. Of course, we know that all the modes are getting a little bit of love. That is the quote that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now, which certainly has us optimistic, at least.
Mm.
I do want franchise to, and I've already drafted a Monday Tip-Off article about it, as you might imagine, about franchise modes and how they still matter and how it's important. I want to see them improve. I want to see 2K continue to polish up. But 2K's franchise modes, especially My League, is pretty robust at this point. It's hard to really know what to suggest to that mode. So if you look at our wish list this year for My League and My GM, it's not that long, because a lot of us couldn't really... And it's not because we have no interest in it. It's because it's already pretty full. It's more a case of fine-tuning and expanding on some things like fixing simulated stats or rookie generation, player regression and development, things like that. It's polishing up existing systems or expanding upon them. Whereas Live is about adding a lot of features and functionality that's not there at the moment. And I really hope it is. But one thing I have heard coming out of EA Play is a lot of people say that there's not a lot of details specifically about franchise at the moment, but people are saying that it's apparently supposed to be pretty good this year, so it has received not just a few cosmetic updates, but apparently a little bit of you know, substantial updates and attention. So I am actually pretty optimistic about that. I'm hearing good things, at least, and I hope that they do pan out.
Oh, well, if those stories and or the rumors and ended up being true, then that bodes well and you know, making the mode enjoyable to play and put some hours into in that sense. So
I'd love to get back into it because I'm kind of burned out on career modes at this point. That being said, I probably will look at the one at least. And I mean, I'm getting both games for the sake of reviews and impressions. I will be checking everything out. Whether I spend a lot of time in the mode after that, you know, beyond the review stages, remains to be seen. Depends on what they do. But I would love to get back into franchise. I'd love to use the Bulls, actually. You know, these rebuilding Bulls, and see what I could do with them. See if I could overachieve, much like my NBA Live 06 dynasty back in the day. I suppose we'll talk about it a bit when we talk about the draft. But I do like the way the two players they picked up this year. I thought they drafted pretty solidly, so could be a fun team to play with moving forward. Just a couple of young players I could possibly move around. So yeah, I'd like to use my Bulls in franchise. So do you think you'd take the Heat?
Yeah. Usually we go like Heat, Hornets. And who else would there be? I think those have been the two teams that I've really played with the most in recent years.
Not going to take the Warriors?
No.
The Cavs? Not going to have Cavs versus Warriors again?
So. No. it would be totally tough rebuilding from the ground up with them, especially with LeBron likely going. It doesn't interest me, like probably a lot of people. Sorry, Zizi.
Fair enough. Obviously, I think going with your favorite team is one of the best ways to go in franchise modes.
Would you fire Garpax if it allowed it?
Oh, absolutely. I'll replace Garpax myself. That's another reason for me to take control of the Bulls. the reign of Garpax can be over. So I'll also be playing Ultimate Team as well, because I really enjoyed putting together my 90s All-Stars this year, so I'll give that another shot in Live 19 and hopefully do that. But like you said, I hope that they do have some Legends content, some historical content outside of the live events and Ultimate Team, because I think it's any kind of extra content you can have is beneficial. Just something else to play with in exhibition mode, or if you can have historical teams in the franchise mode, as you can do with My League with all the teams. Again, I don't think Live is going to be able to have that kind of depth, whether it's actually got the historical teams. I think 2K's got that locked up and they've done it so well that it's hard to compete with. But even just the Decade All-Stars and a few other special teams, you remember when they had the Adidas teams back in the day, or the Reebok Jordan All-Stars and things like that, Team Jordan,
if they had that, that'd be fun. It'd be like the sort of street mode stuff we used to do for Live 03 and 04.
Oh yeah, and it's kind of padding, but at the same time, I think any content is extra content is good content, because it's not like it takes a lot away from the base game or anything. It's just duplicating some players and getting the art team to make a couple of different logos and things. So it's not going to take anything away from the game to have it. It's only going to enhance it having that extra content. Decade All-Stars, definitely, I'd love to have, and certainly, again, putting together that 90s All-Stars or a mix of stars in an Ultimate Team, I'd like. Franchise with the Bulls. But I'll give the one a look as well, and it'll be fun to maybe that'll be our online experience this year if we enjoy the online experience in Live 19, because we're kind of over it in 2K, as we've said on so many shows this year and over the past 12 months. So it's probably time to give that a go and see how that goes. Especially if we can squad up as we think we are going to be able to this year.
Yeah, if we can do that, then I think that'll be one of the go-to modes, and that especially on like that Friday night sort of thing that we're looking forward to playing and catching up with you guys and chat and jerk and have a few drinks and stuff while we play. You know, that'll be enjoyable. So, I think also seeing what extra depth they've added to even like the WNBA mode and given how different that plays to the NBA mode and all that stuff, and just sort of seeing, that's a sort of that different gameplay style, you know, makes the game feel different and more unique in that sense, that you're not playing the same game, or, you know, it technically makes it potentially even like a third game or a fourth game if you take out Playgrounds for the moment, because it is so different in that sort of sense compared to the traditional live and 2K games. So yeah.
Yeah, having kind of that WNBA game embedded within the NBA Live, people have always asked about having a WNBA game over the years, and we've said, you know, it would be a great idea, but whether it's going to have the market strength to sell itself. But if it's there as part of NBA Live, why not? You know, it's a good way of having it. If they have the one for the WNBA, or if they have, you know, a season mode, yeah, that's all I need. Any extra content, it just can't go astray.
Yeah, and I saw last week Liz Cambage getting, like, photos of Liz Cambage getting scanned for NBA Live, so, yeah.
So that's NBA Live. NBA 2K, as you said, you're kind of not looking at getting it, certainly not at least at launch, maybe later on in the year. I will be getting it because, you know, being one of the primary content creators here at the NLSC, I kind of have to for review purposes and whatnot, and I'm glutton for punishment, like to collect whole series and all that stuff, so I will be getting it, but, you know, I think I'm going to avoid my career this year for the most part. I am very burned out on it. If the story's anything like 2K18, I don't see myself playing it for more than the introduction. You know, I'm even considering all the problems I had with the Prelude and pre-orders last year, I don't even know if I'm going to bother playing the Prelude. Or if I do, I'm going to delete my character. I'm going to delete all the data so it doesn't transfer over. And hopefully, and before I pre-order it. So, I'm just tired of it, I think. And I think if I do play a lot of 2K19, if I'm not happy with the franchise mode in Live, I might be going to my league, because of course that is a tremendous franchise mode in NBA 2K. So I think that's what I'll be doing. Obviously playing with historical teams and everything like that. Always fun to play an exhibition game with those, or play now, of course, as they call it these days. My team, I might give a look. Depends. If the odds are as anything like 2K18 with packs and everything, I'll probably stick to Ultimate Team, because that was a lot better. It's usually been the way with Ultimate Team versus my team, actually. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, if the guys got into it and we found that the online experience was better, or the micro experience was better, less grinding or whatever, I'm not holding out hope. But if we did find it, I wouldn't rule it out. But I am pretty burned out on the single player career experience. I'd like to get back to the franchise stuff, and maybe even if we do just have my players and just play 2-on-2 on each other's courts or something like that, we'll have our own league. We'll have our own playground, thank you very much. So
we'll do a LeVar and start our own league.
We'll start our own. We'll overcharge people for tickets to watch on Twitch. But I think that's basically what I'll be doing. Obviously, with Playgrounds 2, hopefully that all works out there and that comes out. And that'll be a nice, I think, palate cleanser in between Live 19 and 2K19, just to have that arcade experience as well, just to change things up with that every now and again, depending on when it comes out and what happens there. So, you know, I said last year could be a really good game, for a really good year for basketball gaming. I thought it was okay. I thought it was okay, better than a lot of people said it was. But at the same time, you know, I'm hoping this is an even better year, basically, because last year, did leave something to be desired.
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a couple of missteps and shift in focus in particularly on the side of 2K in terms of what they were trying to do, but I think they were more focused on league stuff this year as opposed to the actual core gameplay, the actual retail version of the game. So I think a few things took a hit there in that sort of sense, and
definitely.
You know, the polish of the game wasn't as well thought out, or wasn't as good, and obviously the microtransaction element or recurrent revenue seems to be the what they go for. Just
sounds better, isn't really? Is
yeah,
but yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's just the focus
temporary
to seem to be off.
Tax adjustment or whatever, yeah. Like leases. Yep.
Temporary
refund adjustment.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, that's sort of what it sounds
like you said, that whole focus on the NBA 2K League probably did have an impact on 2K18. For the worse, unfortunately for us. So, with that established, maybe it's not going to be an issue as much. Hopefully. I think it comes back to that Reddit post that pointed out that the game is getting geared more towards those elite gamers and the Twitch streamers and the 2K League and everything, where it's which makes them a very small percentage of the user base. So, they need to get back to basics, as we've said before, and just deliver that really solid product. well, we have the neighborhood. We may have a My Career story that could be cringeworthy as 2K18. You wouldn't think that'd be possible because that's setting the bar pretty.
That's kind of what we said about the dream.
I don't know whether you'd say the bar is set high or low on that one. It depends which way you look at it as far as surpassing it. But either way, it's the bar is going to be tough to surpass as far as the cringeworthiness of the 2K18 story. But we'll see. We'll see, and we'll, I guess, come September, hopefully have some more great experiences on the virtual hardwood from Live 19, 2K19, and Playgrounds 2. And anyone else who wants to throw their hat into the ring. Basketball Classics, of course, always a good option as well.
Yeah, I mean, 2K19 is still a possibility. I just won't be buying it straight away. I think I'm going to give it time to sort of see how polished it is, how much microtransaction element plays into the game, how to pay to win it is, and if the My Career Story element is decent enough, and yeah, just that if the game is more polished than it was for this year, and that, you know, I'll probably give it a chance around Christmas time.
Do you think that's been part of our problem, because our little circle of NLSC grind time / thrill ho has been really into Pro-Am the last couple of years, obviously, and we've tried to do that from day one. I think the very first thing we all did in 2K17 was play online, which is very unlike what we normally do, being very traditional gamers and offline people. So the thing we did day one, as soon as we all installed get the game and got the day one patch, of course, five, seven gig, as soon as we did that, was to build the player, actually drop a little bit of money on microtransactions and to up on PC to upgrade the player a little bit, and jump online. Whereas maybe we didn't really experiment with builds and everything. We kind of did a little bit of research and planning beforehand, but we didn't test it out in game, because of course you can't really do that in the prelude, because you only get to play once with one player. So without that experimentation, maybe we didn't set ourselves up as well for it. We were so in too much of a rush to get into 2K Pro-Am. So maybe taking that time and maybe looking at it a couple of months in or a month in or whatever, when we've gotten used to the game and seeing how we like it, maybe that will work out a bit better if we were to go that route again.
Yeah, well, I think we saw the downside if we did wait a month or two.
There is that.
We'd be left behind. There
is that problem as well, absolutely. But even just waiting a week or so to test out or starting a few career games and finding an archetype or waiting for somebody else to like the 2K Labs to do their research, for example, and see which archetypes are broken, that kind of thing.
True.
It shouldn't come down to that, should it? Really, that's being the problem.
That's true. But again, we'd have to go through all that cutscene stuff, and we couldn't skip them. So it'd be that painful grind multiple times till we found a build that we were happy with.
That is a problem. I did see on Twitter that Ronnie2K said that you will be able to skip cutscenes this year, but he also said the time locker codes weren't going to be a thing anymore a couple of years ago, and that wasn't a thing either. So.
Grain of salt.
I do not trust the cult hero on that one, I'm afraid. My apologies to the cult hero. Anyway, that's what we'll be looking to do at this point anyway. I think plans may change as we pick up the games and see what we like. We'll, of course, talk about that when the time comes. Just a quick piece of news from our community, actually, Ben. Hawk23 has resurfaced in the forum. Hawk23 is obviously the creator, one of the masterminds, creators behind the Ultimate Base roster for 2K12 and NBA 2K14 PC. Actually, he goes a lot further back in our community. He was making updates for NBA Live 99 back in the day, Ben.
Wow, he's been around a long time.
Hawk's been around basically as long as I have been, which is, some might say, far too long for an online community, but hey, we're still having fun, so here we are. But he is back. The UBR website has been offline for a little while, and people have put alternate links up there to get the Ultimate Base roster for 2K12 and 2K14. Definitely appreciate people's help in getting those temporary links in place. But Hawk23 is back. He's acknowledged the problem. He's doing his best to get the site back online and get those mirrors working and the site back as working as usual. So that is good news, basically, because that is one of the best mods that's ever scene. Obviously, Sko Adam and Slim 44 have come along with UR Basketball, URB, in recent years as well. Ultimate Base Roster kind of tipped off that whole thing back in 2K12, that having those multiple seasons and this huge roster pack. And it's great that it hasn't been lost and that we're going to have those links back online. So it's good to see Hawk around again.
Yeah, you know, could return back to the community in that sense and putting in, you know, the hard work again to deliver what was a major mod.
Absolutely, and we will keep everyone up to date on that. Welcome back, Hawk, again, of course. As I say, it's always great to see the old guard around, the old faces. That's, again, way back to NBA Live 99, and indeed a few years ago he did upload some long-lost files for NBA Live 99, so when you see something like an NBA Live 99 file editions pop up on the front page, it's a little bit unusual, but hey, we still cater to the old games if the releases come through. And speaking of which, I mean, you and I have done a lot of modding over the years for NBA Live back in the day. We don't do as much anymore. But, you know, every so often I do feel that pull to do something. I've got the list of ideas. It's just a matter of putting aside the time, and I think that's the real reason I don't mod as much. And, of course, doing other things with the NLSC and life outside the NLSC, which, yes, I do have one, as mad as that may seem. But, you know, with my modding, I'm at the disadvantage that most other people in fact, every other person in the NLSC community is not at the same disadvantage I am, because they don't also have the responsibility of running the NLSC. So I've got that on top of trying to do any other projects with basketball video games. But I do have a list of things, and there are things I'd like to do. I've got that Ultimate Jordan mod that I want to finish. I really wanted to release that earlier this year on the anniversary of his 69-point game, but as it happens, you know, life gets in the way, trying to do other things for the site gets in the way, but it's still a work in progress, and I'd like to get some more stuff out, and I really wanted to do it for March Modness, but yeah, just kind of got in the way, because modding can take some time, as you well know.
Yeah, there's been a few times where I've wanted to dip my toes back in, and I've done a couple of little things here and there over the last couple of years just to sort of, you know, contribute in some way and sort of, you know, get the toes wet in patching and modding again. It's just the time factor and, you know, learning the format, how to do it for 2K.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as easy in that, so yeah, spending the time to learn and do it and you know, seeing the result element, plus not having it on PC personally, and that has probably made it a bit hard in that sense. And you know, even with Live, like, my laptop doesn't actually have a disk drive, so even, you know, if I make something for Live 06 or Live 08, you know, it's a little bit tricky to go back. Like, to test it, I'd have to actually send it to someone like you just to get a screenshot.
I'm just looking game, yeah.
So it's a little bit harder in that sort of sense to go back to and sort of, try and create something again. If I can send my, I've been meaning to do it for ages, is my old laptop, you know, if I can give that to my mate and he's actually able to repair it, or if I can even send it down to you and, you know,
get the optical drive, get that replaced or whatever.
No, it's I can load it up in safe mode.
Your old laptop, of course, yeah.
Yeah, but in normal mode, it just goes at the loading, like the little loading bar sort of screen of it, and just idles there.
Might need a reinstallation of Windows or whatnot to get it all working again. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, trying to go back to the old games. And the other thing with modding old games is that while we love doing it, it's fun to dust them off and mod them just the same way it's fun to dust them off and play them. Like, retro modding is, I think, just as fun as retro gaming, or can be. But you're spending a lot of time making something for something that a lot of people aren't going to play anymore. So you really got to be passionate about it and want to spend that time doing it, and have the time and the passion to get it done, because you know that you are modding for a smaller and smaller audience as every year passes. We do have a fair amount of people still playing the old games and showing interest in modding and playing them, but that, obviously, we're going back over 10 years. I mean, people say, I'll get an email every so often. Lena, lots of people are waiting for an NBA Live 2005 roster update. And like, that was a great game, but it's 13 years old. You know, going to, you know, 14 years old this year, actually. You know, it's there's not as many people playing it as you may think compared to, you know, 2K18 or even just a 2K14, for example. We've still got a pretty active modding community because it's, you know, not everyone has the up-to-date PC. Not everyone likes the new-gen games. So it is something you've got to take into account, but by the same token, I would never rule out making stuff for older games, never discourage people from making stuff for older games, but I think we just need to fix you up with a new optical drive or something to get you back into some retro gaming.
Yeah.
either that or they can re-release it on Origin, but who knows.
If you can support widescreen or UHD resolution, yeah, that'd be great. You know, it'd be great playing like Live 06 on... in 4K resolution, that'd be phenomenal.
It'd be funny, yeah. So, we definitely encourage people to mod those old games. We may dip our toes into the water every now and again, but
actually, I should mention that I was working on something, but stupid Photoshop crashed on me before I saved it.
There's that as well. I can tell you from having lost complete rosters, like a day's worth of roster updates, it does not make you want to feel like going back to the modding after that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to play a shooter now. I need to get some aggression out. I need to play some Mortal Kombat or something. I need to
put in GTA just to run over a few people.
I need to punch some polygons because I've just lost a day's work on a mod. Very frustrating.
Since then, you know, I've managed to delete a lot of stuff off the hard drive and that, so I've got a little bit more space now. The computer store that I buy stuff from is actually having a sale on a 1 terabyte external hard drive, so I might pick one of those up. I might try and aim for picking one up tomorrow before they potentially sell out. That'll just help me back up all my design work on all that. Just free up some more space on the laptop so I could potentially do a little bit more work and more function.
So
more function.
We're not announcing anything. We're just not closing the door or anything either. And yeah, of course, you can check out all the resources that we still have in the forum, the wiki, the download section. There's some templates and whatnot as well. So if you do want to get into some retro modding, and of course, modding the current games, recent games, old games, whatever you want, you know, that's a big part of what we do here at the NLSC. So check out those resources and make use of them and have fun, because modding obviously has been very fun for us over the years.
Yeah, yeah, I remember, yeah, getting into days where I'd spent hours on end just creating like the jersey patches and stuff like that, and just pumping them out, and then getting ready to release them and that.
It's very fulfilling, and you don't know satisfaction until you've created a whole 60 draftees.
Yep.
You don't know accomplishment until you've created 60 draftees in one day. That does get tedious, and you start to fudge some ratings towards the end of people at the end of the draft. You're like, well, he's probably not going to turn out 55 overall. So, you know, that's why I can sympathize with the people doing the rosters for Live and 2K, because sometimes until they start playing the NBA, there's a lot of guesswork. Absolutely. Hats off to the modding community. As always, we enjoy dipping our toes back in the water every now and again, being a part of it. But no announcements just yet. But as for Hawk is back, so hopefully we can at least get some re-uploads there.
I'm trying to remember if there's this, like, from, I think, Live 2003 and 2004, one of these, if he's the person I'm thinking of that did a couple of patches and stuff like that. So
can't remember if he... I know he took a long hiatus, but... I guess we all do some from time to time. You and I have both made a long overdue comebacks, I suppose. So
true.
Why not? Before we get into talking about what we've been playing over the past week, we did take a bit of a break there for a while from our week in basketball gaming, but we do have a couple of things to talk about this week. Just wanted to reflect on a bit of a fun topic now. What would an NBL 2K, or indeed NBL Live, game look like? In the NBL, of course, this is the Australian National Basketball League. Is our league. You can't tell that we're Australians by this point of the show, or indeed listening to many shows. That is our local league. Much like the WNBA, probably not going to have its own standalone game anytime soon. But if it did, what might that look like, Ben? Well, first, let's start with the cover, since we started this episode with the cover. I think if we had an NBL 2K19 or NBL Live 19, I think it would have to be Andrew Bogut on the cover, because he's the biggest name in the league right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that being... Or if he'd be like... If they were ever do like a Legends cover, he could be the Legend, even though he hasn't...
Oh, it has to be Gaze. It has to be Gaze for a Legend cover, surely.
Oh, true. Yeah, good point. So, yeah, I could see him do a Bogut this year, because that'd be a big profile signing, and then next year it could be someone like a Goulding or something like that.
And would the special edition cost more dollary dues than edition of, like, significantly more dollary dues, or...
Oh, yeah, knowing how things are here. You know, but you want it... you know, would it come with extra tinnies or something like that? We don't know.
Virtual tinny, that's...
Yeah, so there's a currency format for you.
So we know there'd be a lot of in-game advertising. You know, people are very complaining about the advertising that's in NBA 2K at the moment, but I think the NBL 2K would have a lot of advertising in it.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it'd be... Yeah, to put the Mountain Dew Reese's Pieces and what's the other Ruffles thing to shame. That would make it, yeah.
So, of course, we'd be on the Weet-Bix box.
What else is a major sponsor? Well, we would should go to the NBL site and find out some of the major sponsors and get an idea from there. But that'll be a few. There'd probably be at least 12 to 20 sponsors, I reckon.
It'd just be great having, you know, Vegemite in there. You get the Vegemite deal instead of the Mountain Dew or whatever. It's the Vegemite 3-on-3 challenge or something like that.
And the Reese's Puffs is Weet-Bix.
Is the Weet-Bix box. I mean, they're different products, but it's still...
And Cody's Cordial is the Gator.
Cordial, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. So we've just got all the local ones, some knockoff brands as well. I think the league option, the My League option in the game, the franchise mode, you know, you really need expansion. Of course, you wouldn't be able to expand to Newcastle. It would just deny you every single time. Not bitter at all. how can you lose two teams? The league started here in 1979, and we've lost two teams since then. It's tragic. You need a league expansion, of course, because we joke, but the league has made a comeback in a pretty strong way and is continuing to expand slowly and sensibly. So it'd be cool to have that. Retro teams, of course, you would get. I'd be able to play with the Falcons then, the Falcons or the Hunter Pirates as a retro team.
And Singapore Slingers and Giants and...
Well, yeah, you could have the Melbourne Tigers instead of the Melbourne United. So, of course, you'd have Gaze there wearing the old Tigers uniform.
And then the Sydney Spirit, which had one of the worst logos I've ever seen in my life. And it's up there with the last Melbourne Tigers one.
Is that the one that looked like the Optus Yes?
Kind of. It looks like someone tried to draw a dolphin, but didn't really know how.
Oh, so this is just where I put my hand up and admit that I did it. So I can't really draw, so...
I wonder how much they paid for that logo, and if they paid, like, more than $20 for that, that person got paid well.
It's the,
congratulations to them for ripping off a team, probably why they went defunct.
Is that the 90s equivalent of Fiverr then? The old school edition of Fiverr where you just pay $5 for a logo or something like that?
Probably.
So, you know, it would be interesting to play that different style of basketball, of NBL, you know.
It wouldn't be as athletic, that's for sure.
The dunk packages probably would be toned down a little bit. The playground might be a little bit sad because we don't really have those really, you know, awesome playgrounds that they have in the US. So it's just kind of like a... You never go to one of those parks and they've just got, like, the really small... The one backboard and the really small part of... Really small bit of concrete?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the GIO, Australia Hoops, and stuff like that here.
So that's going to be the playground.
None of the courts, like, even half courts, were, like, official size and three-point lines extended to, like, 30-something feet out instead of the regulated ones, and the rings were always at different heights, and yeah, it was not consistent at all. And it was a crappy fiberglass thing that you'd either have to almost break the backboard, like shooting the ball that hard to get a good bounce, or it'll just bounce off it like crazy.
I think the real highlight is going to be my career story, though, in NBL 2K. First of all, Australian accents all over the place, Australian locations, fantastic. We'll enjoy it a lot. but I just see the whole story is going to be like them defending the sport against all footy fans who don't like basketball. And just everyone that says that it's an American sport, oh, it's, you know, it's stupid, it's lame, it's, you know, but then we'll, you know, watch cricket for 5 days and end in a tie. But yep. So that's going to be a, you know, pretty good approach to that.
And the My League approach should be trying to secure a free-to-air TV right deal that's where you don't end up defuncting the league.
Or it's actual live broadcasts on free-to-air instead of just in local markets. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really, you know, cynical things we could do with NBL 2K or NBL Live. But all that being said, if they did it, I'd get it, because it'd be pretty cool to have, you know, an NBL game. Or if they had if they did something much like FIFA does with the leagues around the world or something like that, you know, say NBA Live, for example, having NBA, NBL, and if they had other leagues, WNBA, I should say, if they had NBL. And
even like EuroLeague and stuff like that. Like, yeah, I think if the games ever got good enough that they could include maybe like the top 5 to 6 leagues around the world.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool, because like I say, FIFA does it. That might make it FIBA Live, though, rather than NBA Live. But, you know, there's a spin-off for you. You know, send your money to us on PayPal for this million-dollar idea. But no, I just thought it'd be a bit of fun to talk about that. But all jokes aside, yeah, it'd be pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'd give it a crack. I mean, we know there's a couple of companies here that make like the rugby league and AFL games and that. Red Ant Studios, I think it is particularly that does one of them, or maybe both of them, like the AFL and rugby league or rugby union one. Rugby league because. Yeah, he used to do the union one, but stopped up. Same with the cricket. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if one of those companies could do it. You know, we had a couple more companies in Brisbane, but they shut down like mid to late 2000s. So yeah,
in the late 90s, there was a EA up in Brisbane.
Yeah, EA pandemic. Yeah. Yeah, that shut down, and then we had Chrome Studios, which was Australia's biggest studio, which had like 3 studios, one in Brisbane, which was the head one, Melbourne, and then Adelaide. That all shut down after, you know, they got screwed over by some of the studios that they're, or some of the companies that they're making games for, like ports for, like for PS2 and all that stuff at the time. So yeah,
who did L.A. Noir?
L.A. Noire was Team Bondi.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And, yeah, about a couple of months after that game was released, you know, it came out that the staff were working like 100-hour weeks and not getting paid extra overtime and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then it just went to hell. That game took like 8 years to develop. I mean, they were trying some interesting techniques in that, but yeah, it was just Rockstar in the end just says like hurry up, and, you know, so they pushed it through, and then yeah, a couple of months after, you know, they closed down. They did get picked up again, and they were working on a game called Horror of the Orient,
right,
and which was to be a next gen, so this generation title, but it's gone like dead silent since the couple of screenshots that they shown for it. Yeah, so don't know what's happened with that. But yeah, we had some pretty good studios here. I think we even had a Sega studio and that shut down. So yeah.
I suppose, but we're not really thought about much things for video games except how we ban them. And yeah. with that in mind, if NBL 2K or NBL Live was indeed made, would the Australian Classification Board refuse a classification? Who knows? Who knows?
Actually, the only studio I can think of right now in Australia that's still doing fairly well is Half Brick Studios, which is a Brisbane-based one. And I actually had an interview over the phone with the HR guy a couple of years ago, just before they went to E3 and won awards for Fruit Ninja and Jetpack Joyride and all that stuff. So, yeah.
So we almost lost you, which means I would be doing the podcast by myself every single week, as I did a couple of weeks earlier in the year. I just go completely mad talking to myself. So, madder, maybe. Anyway, that's pretty much all we have for news and amusing topics this week. So we thought we'd talk a little bit more about what we've been playing in our week in basketball gaming.
Oh, that's a devastating dunk in his face. Oh, he just stole his heart with that dunk right there.
We returned to basketball gaming this week, and what have you been doing, Ben?
A little bit of Live and a little bit of 2K. Didn't get to play as much as I wanted to this week. My PS4 was having the disc jockey problem. So
is that a widespread issue that I should be worried about? Is that like a
on the like release model, like the launch models and all that stuff? Yeah, there's been a little bit of problems. There's a couple of ways to sort of resolve it. Couple of simple ways, and then one is just sort of taking off the cover where the hard drive is and then turning a screw clockwise a little bit, or underneath the base, right near where the eject button is, there's a bit of a rubber sort of brace thing, and that sort of pushes up against the eject button.
So what people have done is
like put the console on top of like one or two like DVD cases and all that stuff.
Just prop it up with a book or a couple of little books or cases or something. Yeah. Okay.
But sort of wedge it, wedge them either side of the
eject button. Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
What happened to the good old days of blowing on the cartridge, which you're not supposed to do? Just don't do that for retro gamers out there. Get the cotton swab and do that. But actually, I did that with some of my old NES games that weren't working. I thought, I'm going to have to replace the unit, the 72-pin adapter inside the thing. So I actually got the cotton swab, and man, some crap came off the connectors, the pins on the cartridge. And I put that in, and wouldn't you know it, boom, fired up straight away. Like, okay, well, this is why they used to sell all those cleaning kits back in the 90s. So... with the eject issue ejected, yep. What have you been doing?
Played a little bit of Live and a little bit of 2K, mainly just today. And I played first thing I did today was play this Live Streets and tried one of the live events, and it was like a first of 45, so it was actually a fairly long game. So that was pretty cool. Didn't win. It was close though. And had like nearly 10 rebounds and a couple of points and a couple of nice blocks. And then I played a league game against the Mavs and just won the game. The Mavs hit a three to get up by, couple points, and there was like 2.3 seconds remaining, so had a timeout called. My player inbounded the pass to Tyler Johnson, who now I think it was a three from memory, if not it was a long two, and nailed the shot, and there was like 0.01 left, so I knew they couldn't do anything. So, but CPU took a timeout anyway. I was like, "There's no chance."
Yeah.
So I knew that I'd just stolen that win.
It sounds like my ultimate team game a few weeks back, where I hit the shot with Chris Mullen, the game winning three with 0.4 of a second left, and I thought, "Yeah, they're not going to get it off. The animation, it's not going to be quick enough for them." But they called the timeout, got it in there. Durant hits this wild turnaround three. It goes in. He makes it, but yep. It was after the buzzer. I'm like, So you wanted to screw me over, didn't you? And you would have if I hadn't have left. If I'd left any more time on the clock, you were going to get me with that one. So no, it's always always satisfying to win like that. Like people like to win in blowouts, and it's fun in Pro-Am because you get to run up the score and pad your stats.
Yeah,
but against the CPU, I think blowouts can get very boring. You know, when you have that really intense game and it's back and forth, and you think, oh, you know, it's going to screw me over. It's or you know, I'm not going to be able to do this. But you persevere. I wrote it in the Friday Five. It's why you don't rage quit, because you can have these great comeback victories that feel very rewarding when you do it. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you are beating a video game. We are talking about the context of exciting moments in playing video games. We're not saying you're saving the world. But, you know, it's up there as far as excitement goes. But it is fun. You know, I always think that when you're winning every game by a blowout, it just gets repetitive and boring. And I think we had that in my career a couple of years ago, you and I, where we went on those big long winning streaks, and it was kind of like you're going for numbers at the end of the day rather than trying to win. So that's really cool that you had a game like that where you actually had to fight to the end like that.
Yeah, and so I was very happy with that. Had 26 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. Yeah, and that was pretty fun, and yeah, it was a challenge. It's like, ooh, can I get it? And then yeah, just to get that buzzer beater was very satisfying. And then decided to pop in and play 2K18, and since you know test out and see whether the disc would get ejected and stuff. So I managed to get through a my career game, no issue. And played against the Houston Rockets. And it was funny, like, it showed the shooting, what James Harden had scored in the previous game, and he was like 2 of 15 field goals. And I was like, wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I was like, all right, well, let's see if I can sort of really outdo that. End up scoring. Oh, actually outscoring the entire Rockets team. I scored 92 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 steals, 2 blocks. And the Rockets scored 91.
Is that the most you've scored in a game this year?
Yeah, yeah. 128 is my personal best in 2K14.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 92 is the highest I can think of in a few years. And it came down again to that last shot, and it was basically a half court buzzer beater too. It was like that was kind of my goal, was to try and outscore the entire Rockets, and so that was my goal by the end of the first quarter, because I'd already had like 20 something points at that stage, and I was like, all right, let's see if I can outscore.
And it's funny because often when you try and do that in video games, possible video games, that's when it starts to screw you over and not let you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. When you start going for stats, it's like, okay, you're going for stats. I'm just going to ramp up the difficulty tenfold. So,
yeah. So when I hit that that half court shot to get to the 92 points, I was very satisfied in the end, because I blew out the Rockets completely. I think it was something like 35-40 something point win. I have to double check the box score. I forgot to actually write that down what it was, but yeah, I was 89 points, and I was like, oh, can I do it? So yeah, and when it went in, and I was like, yeah, I have to save that.
It's your specialty, the half court three at this point.
Yeah. So it was actually nice to actually hit it in an NBA game instead of just in the Pro-Am, and that
when we're sick of things and just trying whatever.
Yeah, when I'm actually just trying to get graded out. But yeah, for both games, I actually saved the last 10 minutes and that, just so I might upload those and just sort of put them up on the site or something like the YouTube. Sure. And that.
Yeah, no, that's probably more exciting than I've had this past week. I did play a bit more of Ultimate Team. I played this week's challenges, played the Southwest Legends Challenge. I got a Yao Ming card again. I had one earlier in the year, and I sold it to get some coins to buy some other 90s Legends, and I ended up getting Yao Ming back. So that was kind of funny. I might put him back up again so I can get some other 90s legends. So it's like the Apple vending machine in The Simpsons. But, hey, you're the same card I had before. Yeah, it's getting to the end of the new content coming through for Ultimate Team, so I'm basically just finishing up with that. I don't think I'm going to get any more 90s Legends at this point unless I really start grinding for coins. I actually haven't done any of the playoffs challenges, so I might, during the off season, which we are in now, of course, I might actually go through with that and just keep and finish the first round, etc., all the way to the finals just to really complete the collection. I know a lot of guys in the forum have been doing the Masters challenges, been doing a really good job of those. ZZ got the Master Vince Carter with the just ridiculous offensive ratings and dunking ability. So
nice.
He's got a fantastic team, actually, in both my team and Ultimate Team going. And so I really tip my hat to ZZ on that grind, because it's not easy to do, especially if you're not paying real money for the packs and VC and whatnot. So yeah, I've been doing a bit of Ultimate Team. Played with Glenn Rice because I got him, and he was pretty fun to play with. He and Mullen make a pretty good combination from three, actually, as you might expect. So, and I've got Mitch Richmond as well, so I can really just gun away with the... I think I should try that lineup, actually. I think who's my best point guard shooter might be John Stockton. Stockton, Richmond, Rice, Mullen. I don't think I've got a big who can shoot threes, but if I could get one, just have that all 3-point retro shooting lineup possibly. So or just go small with Rice or someone in the middle. So you really do need the 3-point shooting though on the harder difficulties in Ultimate Team, and that's where the 90s All-Stars roster that I put through, not necessarily the best 3-point shooting, because of course they weren't the most prolific 3-point shooters back then compared to today, so some of their ratings are a bit low, so sometimes you can miss out on that. But no, I've really enjoyed Ultimate Team this year. As I said earlier in the show, I want to try and replicate it again in Live 19. Of course, starting over again is going to be a little bit painful, probably. But yeah, still a little bit of content to keep me going through the off season. So that's mostly what I've been doing at the moment. I don't really feel like starting a franchise this late in the year, but
I can understand that.
Because it's just, even if I do, well, if I do start today, it's going to, in 2K, it's just going to take me through to the off season anyway. So. So I probably won't do a franchise this year. I did want to, but then, of course, kind of got burned out and playing my career for 2K Pro-Am and 2K Pro-Am itself. I think I was stuck into Ultimate Team, not really feeling franchise mode, as I've said, in Live just yet, because it still needs that extra bit of oomph to really, you know, that'll hopefully be there in Live 19. But yeah, it's a little bit late in the year. Plus, the year's over, the season's over, so it's more about fantasy stuff now anyway.
That's true.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much all I've been doing in basketball games. It's that time of the year where I've kind of played them both as much as I really can. I haven't touched 2K except to get screenshots for quite some time, actually.
Ah, yeah. Oh, I think... actually, no, I hadn't turned on since the time we did the 2-on-2 at on your court.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we were thinking about it on a Friday night, but then a couple of guys pulled out and we didn't have enough numbers, so... Is either you and I going to a walk-on or the playground, and we've had enough of that, so that wasn't going to happen. But yeah, I guess that's pretty much what we've been playing this week. Still playing, you know, the season's over, but just... I sometimes find that I... You know, people talk about the previews coming out and not being able to go back and play the previous game. I do find that to a certain extent, but I also find that anticipating the new game, I do like to go back sometimes and play the old games, if only to make comparisons when the new ones come out.
True, you know, it keeps it fresh in mind, you know, the things that, you know, you want to see worked on, or, you know, just in general gameplay and feel, so when it transitions into the next one, you know, it's like riding a bike in that sort of sense.
Yeah, as you say, fresher in mind, you can see, well, this is actually better, this isn't as good as I thought it was, or isn't as improved as I thought it was, or this has somehow gotten worse. We've seen that in recent years, unfortunately, so... It is worth doing it, especially if you're doing content. But I find that I get encouraged to play it again as I'm going through the previous season and feel like playing a bit of virtual basketball. So we shall see. But probably not a franchise. It's a bit late in the year for that, unless I simulate a lot of games. Basically, otherwise I'm not going to be done by the time this year's. Of course, we do have the real NBA to talk about. We're going to finish up by talking a little bit about the draft, which took place, I guess, this week, last week, depending on when you're listening to this and what time it is and wherever you are in the world. The NBA draft took place, and the number one pick, DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley at the second to the Kings. Suns, of course, at the first pick, and Luka Doncic ended up with the Mavericks. Like, he was originally traded, originally drafted by the Hawks, rather. And this led Pau Gasol, who was also drafted third by the Hawks in back in 2001. And then, wow, that's just... Pau Gasol was drafted in 2001. That's 17 years ago.
Jeez.
But he was also drafted by the Hawks and traded, of course, to the Grizzlies. And he made a bit of a comment about that on Twitter, about how they gave up on him in much the same way as they gave up on Doncic. It seemed like a really great move for the Mavericks, and they didn't have to give up a lot to get him either.
Yeah, it's basically almost the magic beans to get him.
Looking at some of the other interesting selections here, of course, you and I didn't really follow college that closely this year, so it's not very easy to give a in-depth analysis of the draft. But Michael Porter Jr. was projected as being a fairly high lottery pick, and he slipped all the way down to 14, seemingly because of the red flags over his back issues.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of questions about potential attitude from what I heard from when I was watching the draft. But yeah, I think the main concern was his back. Obviously, he just had surgery on his back a few months ago, and I think it was similar to, was it surgery that like Kerr or something had recently, Steve Kerr had?
If so, that's really not... promising for his career, because that's pretty... I mean, back stuff is a big red flag, and you know, hopefully for his sake, you know, and Kenny's sake too, because he's gone to the Nuggets. It's hopefully it's not a serious matter, or obviously a serious matter, but hopefully it's not a... that it doesn't bode poorly for his career, but it is obviously a red flag, dropping all the way down to 14th, which is still in the lottery, the very end of the lottery. But I have heard that he might be missing this whole season, so... I mean, there's talk about maybe the Bulls should have done it to continue to tank, much the way the 76ers did. But I think the thing with the 76ers is they got a couple of pretty good players who they knew once they were available, once they were healthy and passed all their rehab and everything, that's the rehabbing an injury, not rehabbing other issues. realize how that came out. Once they passed the rehabilitation after surgery and everything, they're going to be pretty good players. There's obviously, or they're going to be healthy as well. That's not an issue where they're going to come back and they're going to be possibly having these chronic issues, which can be an issue with the back. Steve Kerr, you mentioned Larry Bird's career was cut short by back problems. You know, Dwight Howard. You know, he had those problems back in 2013 with the Lakers, and you can see how it's affected some of his athleticism and such in the years that have followed. You know, he's still fairly young and athletic, but the back injury. I mean, there's other issues with Dwight Howard, of course, but. How much the back injury has hurt him, because they're not good, obviously, spinal problems and back and muscular problems. But
and I can agree with that. Having some back issues over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, 10, 15 years.
You
know, when I ran myself into the ground with my daily 5 kilometers and everything, and ended up with sciatica. You know, that's painful enough without some of the issues where it requires surgery. But anyway, in any event, you know, there was talk whether the Bulls should have taken him and maybe just kept him in reserve as a possibility and tanked again. I think I like what they did, getting Carter, a player who can possibly contribute much sooner and is healthier. I think that's the better way to go. I do like this the Chandler Hutchison that they got at the 22nd pick as well. That was the pick from the Pelicans, which continued to slide down the better the Pelicans did, but he looks like a pretty good player. I'm actually quite happy with what the Bulls did. You know, I wasn't expecting them to trade up and get Doncic. Would have loved it if they had, but didn't expect it to happen. With the picks that they had, I think it's a pretty solid, you know, in the whole rebuilding process, and they may still be in the lottery next year. They'll still have some cap space. So, I don't really have any complaints. I'm not setting the bar very high either. I don't have great expectations because, you know, still a young team, still coming together, still coached by Fred Hoiberg, still got Garpax calling the shots. But, you know, credit where it's due. I thought that was a pretty solid draft for them, so I'm pretty happy with that.
That's good. Well, my team didn't actually have any picks in the draft.
Yeah, so, on the plus side, the Heat made no mistakes.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, it was interesting to watch though, like the parts that I got to watch. Jaren Jackson Jr., I always sort of, like, first couple of times I seen the name, more so, like, read it as Lauren Jackson, just out of habit. Just, yeah. Because I think the first time when I saw it, it was, like, in the act of, like, scrolling down or, you know, that sort of, you know, the page was moving kind of thing. So, you know, you weren't focused directly. You just saw the Ren Jackson. So, yeah, just sort of, automatically were associated with Lauren Jackson, so yeah, poor mistake there.
Of course, son of Jaren Jackson, go figure. Now Jaren Jackson Sr., I suppose, as he may be now known, instrumental in the Spurs 99 championship.
So that's who he is. Okay, I didn't realize that. I just saw the name, and I was surprised.
I'm also just looking at Jaren Jackson's the Jaren Jackson Sr.'s Wikipedia page, and under his NBA career, the first subtitle is Traveling Swingman. That's a great name for a band, like a basketball theme band, Traveling Swingman. So if no one's taken that yet, I think we should do something with that. Looking at some other results, not a lot to say. The Knicks fans booed Kevin Knox, but seems like a pretty solid pick there again. You know, so I think some of the Knicks fans wanted Porter Jr., but they might have dodged a bullet. So I think Knox is going to turn out pretty good.
And Kostas might be a dark horse yet. You know, like a surprise pick, like the IT Isaiah Thomas sort of situation being the last pick.
Could be. No Australians this year. This is the last, up until this year, three of the last four drafts had at least one Australian, and two of them had two. So we don't have anyone going into the league this year.
Yeah, which is a bit disappointing, but hopefully next year we'll potentially get another two guys, hopefully. You know, we do have a couple of players attending the Summer League, so you never know.
Well, that's a better position than LiAngelo Ball's in at the moment, so...
Yep. Oh, that was so good, not seeing him get drafted. And the fact that the Lakers have said not to Summer League squad.
it kind of surprised me. I thought they might actually acquiesce to that, but... Yeah, good for Magic, I suppose. He's not having any of that. Speaking of former Lakers, twofold here. Mitch Kupchak, of course, former GM there, is now with the Charlotte Hornets. And the Hornets have they're in the process of finalizing the deal to trade Dwight Howard to the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
For Timofey Mozgov.
Yeah.
Who is also himself a former Laker, of course. So, Kupchak has got him back. Apparently, Howard's worn out his welcome again in another place. That seems to be the theme. This is going to be his fourth team in as many years. He can still play, even in this league that favors the three-point shooting bigs. He's still putting up some pretty decent numbers, but he's just not really sticking around anymore.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like, this was technically his best season in recent years, like in terms of stats and that. But yeah, there's that personality element, I guess, and chemistry in the locker room, and that just doesn't seem to bode well. And like, noticed it last year after the Hawks traded him, and that you know, the players were starting to, you know, publicly make it known and all that stuff. So they didn't hold back.
No. And so, yeah. It hasn't been anything this year, but that is the scuttlebutt. That is the rumors again that he's worn out his welcome. And I was reading an article, Sports Illustrated, or somebody spoke to him before the season, and he admitted he doesn't have a lot of friends in the NBA, and it's pretty obvious, I guess.
seeing
what's happening. Yeah. And it's, again, a shame because he does still have that talent, but he's kind of worn out his welcome. Funny that he's going to the Brooklyn Nets years after they were trying to get him back originally when he was with the Magic, and of course he ended up going to the Lakers then. So a lot of history there, obviously, with Kupchak getting Mozgov originally as well, signing him to the Lakers and orchestrating the trade for Dwight Howard. But, you know, the funny thing is that, of course, the Hornets have got Timofey Mozgov, and you know that he won a title alongside LeBron James in 2016. And they're talking about where LeBron's going to go this offseason if he opts out. So, you know, that's why I just posted on Twitter. Yeah, the screenshot of him in the Hornets jersey. I just fired up NBA 2K and put that together. I mean, just imagine that. First of all, you know, the whole Michael Jordan versus LeBron James debate, and then he goes to play for the team that MJ owns. Yeah.
I mean, trying to chase that ghost and all that stuff.
that would just be just incredible. Obviously, no one would see it coming. It would just blow minds. I kind of want to see it just for the, you know, everyone's going, you know, he's going to the Lakers, of course, with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, if you believe the rumors. You know, he's staying in Cleveland, which I still am not ruling out. Going to Houston, he's going here, going to New York, going to wherever. Just like, nah, I'm going to Charlotte or Utah or just all the Clippers or just something that nobody expects. I'd love to see it. It would just be so, you know, talk about shaking up the league, you know. I'd have to tip my hat to him for doing that because it really would surprise people.
Yeah, it would be, yeah, I think definitely a left field decision if that was to ever happen. You know, I mean, stranger things have happened, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, it'd be definitely an interesting way to chase the ghost of, as he put it. So.
Absolutely. So I guess that pretty much brings us to the end of the show. There's the drafts in the books, all the new rookies coming in. Now we have an off-season coming up where presumably there'll be a week or two of frantic movement, depending on when LeBron makes his decision and whatnot. And then nothing. That's the way it's gone the last few years.
Yeah.
Two weeks of excitement and then just waiting for the summer league and preseason again. Basically.
Yeah, which kind of put at that little lull spot, but we'll see what we can do to try and keep the podcast entertaining.
More ideas for NBL 2K. We'll start doing the NBL 2K mod. Who knows? In any event,
there actually is one.
There is one for 2K13. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they started one for next gen. So.
It's Nick the Quick 30 in the forum, I believe, made that one. That was pretty cool. Yeah. So with that being said, that has brought us to the end of episode number 254 of the NLSC podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us on the Stitcher app and other podcast catching apps as well. Just search for NLSC podcast, look for the logo, and that will be us. You can also keep streaming on the NLSC itself. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/NLSC. We're on Instagram, NLSC Basketball. And of course, give a look to the NLSC itself, nb-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But that is it for episode number 254 of the NLSC podcast. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we're out like fans at a Junior Basketball Association game.